Welcome to the Ancient Paths Podcast. We are your hosts, Wendy and Shani, and we are two moms, a quarter of a century apart, preserving tradition for a modern generation.
Join us as we weave together ancient wisdom and modern insights to inspire a deeper, more meaningful approach to spring cleaning. Whether you're a seasoned, eco-conscious cleaner or just starting your journey toward a healthier home, this episode offers actionable insights and inspiration to spring into action and create a safer, cleaner living environment for you and your loved ones.
I just love that. Listen to birds.
I know.
It's so much getting to be spring.
It's so nice out.
Oh, so I guess we're heading on into the British tea time. I can hear the music in the background.
What are we drinking today,
Wendy?
Well,
you're drinking, the guava goddess actually looks kind of good. You're drinking some kombucha, but I also made some oolong.
Yes.
I love oolong. Oolong is a nice low-release caffeine for me. I can have it in the afternoon, but I can't have coffee.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's because I'm getting old and my body just can't handle it. I don't know.
I think I could.
You can do coffee at 6, can't
you? I could drink coffee all day long and I would be
fine.
Have
you made it in your espresso maker yet?
I have.
Is it cool?
It is.
Yeah, it is cool. It's I feel fancy when I use mine. I do feel fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you reading?
I just finished reading. I'm kind of late to the game on this one, but Where the Crawdads Sing.
That is a good book.
It is a good book.
I think years ago. Has it been out that long?
It's been out for a while.
Yeah,
I think it's been a couple years. It is really good. I saw the movie probably sometime last year. I don't know how long ago it was. And it's just taken me a while to get the book.
Did you like it?
I did. It's definitely one that I will want to purchase my own copy of to keep on the bookshelf. It's one that I could definitely read again. It's just a really good, like, human emotion story.
And it really is. And, you know, it's good. So it could be real.
Yes.
You know, and then at the end you get the twist. So it's like, you know, I mean, I love that. It could be real.
Yeah.
I won't tell you the twist if you've not read it.
It's good.
Yeah, I haven't been reading fiction. I actually have been listening to a Jenny Allen book, and I don't remember the name of the title. Here, let me just pull up my Audible and I'll look.
Yeah.
It's about your thought pattern.
Okay.
And let's see what it is. It's about your thought pattern, and it's really good. Oh, well, it logged out. I got a new phone, so it logged out. So I'll find out what it is, and I'll tell you later. But I think it's called Get Out of Your Head. I really do think that's kind of the name of the title, or either that's what it's about. But,
cool.
Yeah, it's really good. And it talks about the neuroplasticity of your brain and how you've got to, you know, when Scripture says take every thought captive.
Yeah.
What that really means is it's actually scientifically based.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we're finding that out more and more every day.
I was just talking to somebody about that this morning because we were talking about that book, Atomic Habits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And how really habits are just the way that we have allowed our thoughts into our lifestyle, basically, and we can rewire our thoughts.
What a really good way to look at that.
Yeah.
I think that's really awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just sitting here, and as a totally side note, I'm just cracking up inside laughing because Shani and I have on the exact same shoes.
Oh, right? I took a picture. I'm going to post.
Did you? Okay, yeah.
As long as we can post a feet picture. Do you think that's weird?
Well, our feet, actually, yeah. Yeah, I think you can.
Okay.
I have sufficient black on my
feet. Oh yeah, look,
it's
the heel callus. If you don't have heel calluses, you're not really a gardener.
You're not a gardener. And then there's no polish at all. We do not have pedicure.
Oh, I have nail polish, but it's home.
You do have nail.
It's home. It's home done. It was thrown on before I went to a doctor's appointment the other day.
But it's funny that we have the same shoes on. Well, she texted me, and I had the darker color of these shoes, and then she texted me, and they were on sale for $8.
Man. Oh, yeah. $8 at Walmart.
$8 at Walmart.
They're knockoff Birks.
They feel like Birkenstocks
yeah.
to me.
They're super comfy. Last year, I went through two pairs. Mm-hmm. So I had one that was like my going out pair.
If you're a Patreon subscriber, you will get to see our feet
and
our matching shoes.
Yes.
We are sitting out here right now today at my house in what the boys affectionately call the secret garden. It was the only part of our house that had actual shade.
Yeah.
We had any trees when we moved up here because there was nothing. And so we would do school out here when we started homeschooling. We would do school out here because it was shady. They could put a blanket down. They would eat lunch, and we would read stories and do their school. And
yeah.
It really is nice. I haven't kept it up like I would have because I focused a lot over the years on vegetables, but I am getting it back in shape. And I'm looking at some narcissus that's blooming and some forsythia and a really old French rose that's getting ready to pop. And I can see across the yard, and the sawtooth oaks are just putting on tiny baby buds, and the hollyhocks. The leaves are beautiful. And my Abe Lincoln rose right there is loaded with leaves. So in a week, I'll have flowers everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just so excited. I cannot even stand it.
I love this time of year. It's mm-hmm. We're definitely still kind of in a false spring. Like, we'll probably get another cold snap.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
But, I mean, like, it's shorts weather today. It's almost like sweaty weather today. And it's kind of nice.
It was kind of humid earlier.
It was.
I think it's feeling better now. Yeah.
Well, the breeze is nice. The sun shines out, which is soak up some of that vitamin D.
So what are we talking about this week?
So this week we are introducing the challenge for March, which is Spring into Action, kind of a play on words there. And we're going to specifically talk about some household toxins and mm-hmm. maybe give you some ideas for some non-toxic things that you can start incorporating into your home.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I think that's a really good topic to talk about because I think people think that it's real, but that they don't really know for sure. But I was just showing Shani something that I just randomly just walked inside and printed off of the internet from the actual National Institute of Health. And I think they said there were 85,000 man-made chemicals out there, over 85.
And 1,000 or more could be endocrine disruptors.
Are probably endocrine disruptors. So,
Tell us what the endocrine system is, why it's important.
The endocrine system. So My connection with the endocrine system is I have a hypothyroidism, mm-hmm. right? And so it affects your hormones. Well, the thyroid does. So, but your endocrine system does as well. It really is important in regulating every single thing.
Yeah.
And so if you get a disruptor in there and it mimics, let's just say, for instance, if you get something in there that can disrupt it and it will mimic a hormone of some sort, then you've got twice the hormone that you should have in there. And it really confuses your body. So for me, mm-hmm. I have Hashimoto's, mm-hmm. which is an autoimmune condition. And so if I were to have more thyroid stimulating hormone circulating in my body would fight it off as a foreign substance because it has too much in it, right? And it would dysregulate it. So you want to be really careful with your endocrine system and your hormones in particular. You want to make sure that if you have something that might be wrong or that might be affected in any way, I would say see an endocrinologist, but first talk to your GP and... Because a lot of endocrinologists now, they actually do surgery. That's it.
Yeah.
I did not know that. But I'm learning that that's it. But there are a lot of holistic practitioners that can help you with that. That can help you with that. But anyway, I think did I go around about that? Because I started talking about my
not really.
Hashimoto's.
Okay. I mean, so the endocrine system is what controls all of our emotions.
Yeah.
Our hormones.
Our hormones, yes.
Our hormones. So you're talking growth hormones. You're talking mm-hmm. sex hormones. You're talking things like your adrenal mm-hmm. hormones. So cortisol.
And hormones are what makes us distinctly male or female.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. So when you have man-made chemicals that can potentially disrupt those hormones, it will lead to imbalance. And sometimes it is kind of tricky to rebalance things because a lot of those chemicals are environmental, not necessarily, there's only so much you can do.
Yeah.
And so we want to encourage you to do what you can with what you have.
Right.
And choose, use the good, better, best. And you can't control the whole world, but you can do your best to control your immediate environment.
Sure.
And make decisions for that.
Yeah. And if nothing else, just be educated and know when you're doing this instead of saying, oh, I didn't know.
Right.
Just be educated and
know. You know now.
Yeah. No, because I did not know before I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's, I did not know that there were certain things that could disrupt any of my hormones. And I didn't know the thyroid stimulating hormone was a hormone.
Yeah.
I just knew every time I went into the doctor, there was a picture of somebody with hypothyroidism and a picture of someone that didn't have it. And I kept thinking, I really look like that person. Like my symptoms are that person. And then it took a long time to get diagnosed, but once I was diagnosed by a doctor who knew what he was doing and ran the correct tests, you know, everything changed. And when your hormones are in balance, life is good, especially if you've lived a life when they're not in balance.
Yes.
So if there's something going on with you, maybe if you're out of balance, maybe it could be you have an endocrine disruptors, or maybe there's just some imbalance in your body, but your endocrine system is super important. And I don't think that over the course of the years with medicine, we've looked at that as anything serious. I think we look at symptoms of other things, but we don't relate them to the endocrine system itself.
So what, how do you think some of these chemicals impacted your experience with Hashimoto's? Like, what do you think their role in your story has been?
I think my Hashimoto's came on primarily by stress.
Okay.
But I was raised in a society where we ran behind the mosquito truck, sister. I mean, you know, we did. I love the idea of thinking that that maybe none of that really, they all just kind of went through me and nothing affected me, but it could have. But we ran behind the mosquito truck. I worked cleaning pools when I was in high school. The chlorine and all that I had to use, and the chemicals I had to use
to
clean
that. Lots of intense exposure.
I'm cleaning those in a bathing suit. I have no gloves. I'm breathing all that. I'm in a closed space. I didn't know any of that. We used iodine and baby oil as a sunscreen, you know, and baby oil, I don't even, it's a mineral oil of some sort. But
I've never heard of iodine mixed in with it.
Yeah, mixed in with it. Yeah,
and why?
You could use Crisco. Crisco had a coloring agent, too, at the time.
Just because it would make it darker.
It would stain. Yeah.
So it's like a fake self-tan plus the baby oil to burn your
skin.
And we
would put iodine on sores back then. There was mercurochrome, I think it was mercurochrome.
Yes.
And then we had iodine. And so it was just a stain, kind of. It was like, well, you look at your sun's tan lotions before we had sunscreen. They were all beige, like Coppertone and Hawaiian Tropic. They all had that brown color. And that's just what all you're doing with mineral oil and iodine. You're trying to make it that brown color. And I think it just stains. I don't even know if it really worked. But
that's funny.
But, you know, baby oil had a smell. Back then it had a fragrance.
Yes.
And I don't even know how mineral oil is made. I mean, I'm sure some of it's good, but I don't know if the kind that I was using was very good. So I would imagine it played some part. We had plug-ins back in the day.
Uh-huh.
Plugins we would put in our house.
Those are still
the little
big
trees in the car.
Yeah.
You know, that we would hang. I'm trying to think if there was any more. Soy got really big in the 70s. Was a really big vegetarian push.
Yeah,
and so a lot of people were eating soy. Everything, the hippie movement was big when I was little, and so soy was everywhere. Whereas in Asian countries, soy is fermented. It's not like it's here now. We use genetically modified soybeans. And I mean, our soy is quite different from their soy.
Yes.
I'm sure there are exceptions before you start emailing us. But it's not like a fermented soy like they use. I mean, they will ferment kimchi for 100 years or something in soy sauce in big vats, you know. And so it makes a difference. It's a probiotic. But we were eating soy everything. What is that? I want to say tempeh, but it's not. That tempeh is not what I'm thinking
tofu.
Of. But tofu. Tofu was in everything. People were eating soy.
See, I feel like that's become really popular again lately. And it's kind of concerning because, like, all of these quote unquote plant-based meat replacements are practically chemically grown. Like, it's not even, they may take the plant protein, but it's not real food.
Right.
It's factory grown food. And, we know that soy is an endocrine disruptor. There's actually studies linking, soy consumption to boys' sex hormones being messed up, and they will actually develop, what look like female breasts because of the high estrogen content in soy.
It's actually very common. When my kids were growing up, our pediatrician he asked me, he said, I'm just like a survey type thing. I want to talk to you about it. And he asked me what we were feeding them because they didn't have those. And my kids didn't. And I was shocked to hear that he said over 60% of his boys, their age.
Yeah.
They were showing up with him and he was trying to figure out why.
Yeah.
And I was freaking out. I couldn't believe that, you know, but so it may have been the soy. I don't know.
Yeah.
But basically we were just eating clean diet because it was cheap.
Right.
You know, inexpensive is what
unfortunately,
we grew.
Everything is expensive now.
Yeah. And we were just eating a lot of what we grew and we were buying a cow from people we knew and, you know, we were trying to be real careful about things like that. And so I don't know if that was the food they ate. I don't know if it was the way we were living or
probably a combination.
Combination, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was shocked to hear about the boys. But it does happen.
Yeah. The first time I heard what an endocrine disruptor was or anything about that, like I didn't really know anything beyond like estrogen is a female sex hormone. Mm-hmm. Testosterone is a male sex hormone. Like I didn't know anything about progesterone. Sure. I didn't know that there was something that could be messing those up, the balance of that up, until I wanted to get pregnant and start a family and was diagnosed with polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is really a blanket diagnosis. It's kind of, you can meet two, even five people with PCOS and they will all look different and have different symptoms.
Wow.
Because it's just such a wide range of...
You think that they're saying, okay, we don't really know what to call this,
yes.
But okay, gotcha.
It's a hormone imbalance related to the reproductive health, but it appears in a lot of different ways, and it's just a blanket diagnosis. So I really struggle with even being diagnosed with that in the first place, because what the doctor wanted to do was put me on, they weren't going to do birth control at the time, because obviously I wanted to get pregnant, but that's what they would normally do for PCOS, is put you on a birth control, which is, I don't have the scientific argument to bring. I have more of the emotional argument to bring on that. But do your research on birth control. If that's something that you are contemplating or are currently on.
That is a hormone replacement therapy.
It's a hormone replacement. It's not good for you long term. Just do your research on it. But they wanted to put me on metformin, which is a diabetes medication, because a lot of times PCOS... people have insulin, resistance, which is really pre-diabetic. I was borderline, but really my issue was my diet and, I just did not, I had too much estrogen and I didn't produce any progesterone, which is what you need in order to have a healthy cycle and to carry a child. Mm-hmm. So, I started learning about that back in 2015, and that's kind of where my whole crunchy journey started.
Have you watched Food Incorporated?
I have not.
Oh my.
I don't watch a lot of those documentaries because I worry that it will send me into like a fear,
a
fear-based spiral.
I think you should not watch it. It will.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can only take in so much information.
Right.
Time.
Yeah. You might not want to watch that one.
There's a difference in knowing and doing what you can with what you have and then just being terrified of everything. And there's definitely a lot out there. Like the more I learn, the more changes I make, but I can't do it all at once.
Right.
So,
So today we're going to probably talk about a little bit about endocrine disruptors.
Yeah.
You know, your hormone system, trying to keep it as clean as you can, the best that you can, and, move forward and trying to make small changes, you know, to make your house healthy. I tell you, my friend that gave us that, the tea when we first started,
yes.
Her name is Chris Tarvin. And, she is a Young Living distributor, Young Living person. We went to stay with them and they live in a little cabin.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, she had all of the Young Living things.
Yeah.
And her house was clean and it smelled good. And
yes.
I just felt healthy being
yes.
there because the windows were open and it just felt healthy being there.
Yeah.
And, but she's, you know, we're about the same age. And so she's at the point where she can have all the things, but
yes.
she also worked works with them, and she gets a discount now, but she's been doing it for a long time. But it,
yeah,
she did it incrementally too. I mean, she just, she has all, she's had a budget before in her life.
Yeah.
You know, to where we could, she could do it slowly and move forward. And you can too. I mean, she, I think she just taught a, was teaching a class on healthy baby or healthy house or something like that. I'll try to find her, her website or whatever, but she would be fun for you to follow on Facebook because she posts things like this.
That was my first kind of dive into, and where I heard a lot about this for the first time was with essential oils. And I just happened, the first person I talked to was with doTERRA. I'm not super picky about brands anymore at this point, because I think that you just have to take everything with a grain of salt. But there's a lot of good companies out there. There's a lot of not good companies out there. So find the reputable ones that you can trust and that you feel comfortable purchasing from. But I think essential oils can play a great... I love carpenter bees.
I do too.
They're so sweet. So they're so curious.
We are distracted.
We
by
are.
Nature.
We're like, we probably shouldn't be outside.
We should probably videotape us for the Patreon.
We get distracted.
We will videotape
so
us for Patreon
easily.
Next time, so you guys can have something special.
But, yes.
Yeah, we get so distracted.
Yeah. I think essential oils play an awesome role in offering a better option, a healthier option, for even if you don't care about the medicinal benefits, but if you're looking for like the aromatics, it's a great way to still have nice smelling things without having the chemical smelling things. My first venture into the natural realm was with essential oils, so they definitely play a role in our home. We enjoy them.
So with me, it was definitely the Hashimoto's. So they told, I watched probably Food Incorporated, I watched something, and they said no more chemicals on your food. That's how the CSA got started.
Right.
So I started trying to plant things without using chemicals and trying to figure out how, so I could eat clean.
Right, because you needed to grow your own food so that you could eat.
I had to get rid of all the chemicals in the house. And so we built a house that had no carpet. So, but we did have hardwood floor. I mean, it's a new house, so you're going to off gas. But the door, the windows were open as much as possible. And I was real careful about what we used chemical wise. And then when the internet came, we were able to find out things like laundry detergent you can make your own. Because those are the common ones. I don't know if I gave you the sheet. Okay, so I'll read all. So let's see. It is important to kids' development, right? You want to be careful about those as they're growing up. And they're talking a lot about autism.
Glyphosate.
Glyphosate.
Yep. I just read something today about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, think about it this way. So children are more vulnerable than we are because they're on the floor. They're crawling. They're putting everything in their mouth. Everything in their mouth. So if there's chemicals or things on the floor, that's why they had that big scare, which still just kind of, I can't even believe they made laundry detergent that looks like candy. That just blows my mind. But that was a big thing a while back. So as they're growing, you want to make sure they don't have, their body doesn't have to filter these toxins out. Our body has to filter out because unknowingly we're surrounded by them. Obviously,
right.
1,000 that we don't know about
right.
that could be endocrine disruptors and 85,000 chemicals, you know, that are man-made. So, and then, you know, you've got schools, and then we hear later, for years I was in a school with asbestos, you know, I mean, that's another thing. You know, I was in an old school. We didn't know. You find out about lead on your crib. I mean, we learn as we go, and you just don't know till you get older or time goes by about things. But some of the household products, we'll focus on, I guess, products today.
Yeah.
Okay. So detergent?
Yeah. I honestly, I didn't make a list of like the toxins and chemicals, and you can go find lists of.
Oh, yeah. Here's some, for example, ammonia, sulfuric and phosphoric acids, lye, chlorine, formaldehyde, phenol. You know, I mean, those are just a start.
So,
and then that list that you have.
Okay. When you said lye, do you not make soap with lye?
You do make soap with lye, but it's caustic before the soap is made. You got to let the soap cure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, my.
Lye will burn you.
Yes. Which is why you have to be careful with it
you
when
do.
You're making soap, and then you let it cure for what, a month at least?
It clean, for example, if you put it in your drain, it will clean a clog. That's
makes
what
sense.
It's for. That is what it was really for. So you do have to be careful with it.
Which lye was, is like wood ash.
Yeah. Well,
or you can make
processed.
Lye with wood ash. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they would put it in a barrel, and they would drip the wood ash, and they would drip water through it slowly. And what comes out at the bottom is your lye.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So my, this is more of a newer mindset for me, I guess, but I'm getting to the point where whether I'm making a decision about what's coming into my home, what we're eating, or even just activity, like if it's not, if it's going to take us closer to the way that we were created to live, then let's do it. And if it's not, then let's find a different alternative.
That makes
so
it easier.
Whether we're talking about products that we're putting on our skin, or foods that we're eating, or even activities, like we were just talking about joining a gym, so that I can start doing some more functional training that I don't really have the opportunity to do because of some of the modern conveniences. Mm-hmm. You know, we live in a society where people are so unhealthy, not just because of the food that we're eating, but because we're so inactive.
Yeah.
We don't get outside. We don't soak up the sun because we're terrified of the sun for some reason. And we coat our skin with chemical sunscreens, which is a whole other soapbox I could get on. Look for mineral sunscreen.
Your skin
do
is
the
your
research.
Largest organ. If you did not learn that in ninth grade biology.
There are honestly, most commercial sunscreens are more carcinogenic than they are helpful in preventing sun exposure, skin cancer. I'm really not convinced about that link, but I know that I'll get somebody coming back.
You're going to.
It will
happen. And it's okay.
I know.
We're all just learning.
Yeah.
You know, and no judgment here.
No.
We'd love to hear input, and we might disagree.
And that's okay.
And that's okay. That's
we just encourage you to do your own research, just like we do our own research.
Sure.
And do what is comfortable for your family.
Yeah.
But,
we know that some of them are caustic. And they're cheap. They're really cheap. When you do the whole coupon and thing, you'll find out that
that's usually the biggest red flag to me. If it's cheap and affordable, I probably don't want it.
Right. Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that, like, I'm not talking necessarily about the DIY type options, but it's like if I can get it for cheap at the store, and this includes food. Think about those whole chickens that are, you can get two of them for $11 at Walmart. That is subsidized by the government for a reason.
Well, I just want you to know.
And I won't say anything else about that now.
When you buy a live chicken and you buy them less, like let's just say I can get 100 chickens on sale. I've got to look for it. It has to be at the right time. I can get them for $1.40.
You're talking about a live chick.
A live baby chick. $1.40.
And then how much does it cost to feed
them? Then I have to raise them. Right. I have to feed them. I have to raise them. I have to house them, provide shelter. If I sell you that chicken for $3 or $1 a pound, there is something wrong that just does not make logical
sense. Does not add up.
Does not add up.
Yeah. I think the cost of chicken in transitioning from grocery store meat to like locally raised, responsibly raised from a local farmer chicken was the biggest sticker shock to me.
I'm sure.
But it's one I am totally willing to pay
at
this
point. Look at it this way. You're paying price per pound for protein, right?
Yeah.
If you can pay less than $10 a pound for protein, that animal protein, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
And your cheapest animal protein is going to be your eggs.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. So if you're paying, you know, $5 a pound for grass-fed beef at Walmart or $7 or $8 now, and you should pay $7 a pound for chicken also. It's per pound. It's animal meat.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not chemicals. But so back to chemicals. Are there safe alternatives? And here's the caveat that I always get. Do they work?
Yes. That I recently had a conversation with a family member who was asking me about homemade laundry detergent when they were they had seen a reel on Instagram. Social media can be a good place for inspiration, or at least to like get the conversation started or get your research started. You see something and you're like, oh, I want to know more about that. Now, you know, don't drive yourself crazy with it, because I've done that before, and it can be, you can go down some rabbit holes. But she asked me about making homemade laundry detergent, which I should have looked up the actual definitions of detergent versus soap, because I think a lot of the homemade laundry Detergent is actually soap. It's not detergent.
No.
And there's a difference. And this goes back to why I really want my, I just want a wash tub with a washboard and a wringer in my front yard.
The other day, I thought I was going to crack up laughing.
I could put it right by my clothesline outside and just spend an hour every couple of days doing laundry. And I mean, you know, put in a good podcast or audiobook and get some sunshine and get a good arm workout. That's kind of the point I'm at.
You don't need a gym.
Then I don't need a gym.
Okay. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Okay. So tell us the difference between detergent and soap.
It, okay. The short answer is soaps are formed from a process called saponification and detergent, which is the lye and
the fat, are a
combination of chemicals that emulsify, hydrolyze, disperse, oxidize, sequester, and or chelate.
It's a lot of words.
Generally speaking, soaps may be natural plant or animal fats with an alkaline base.
Yeah.
That's what we talked about. And detergents are a synthetic blend of several ingredients.
Yeah.
These include some or all of surfactants, builders, wetting agents, chelating agents, sequestering agents, enzymes, and others to form a synergistic cleaning products. So what they're doing is they're going in and attacking the dirt and breaking it up.
So one of the things when the family member asked me about that, I did a little bit of digging so that I could explain the difference. Because I knew it, but I needed some word. I needed some vocabulary, right? So sure. I said, okay, so these homemade laundry, quote unquote, detergents are actually soaps. They are cleaning. But the detergents, like a chemical detergent, it doesn't use anything natural. It's something that has to be made in a laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I read was that you can never wash a detergent out of your clothes.
Mm.
Like it never leaves it. It just builds it up, which is why like you get dish towels or even your bath towels where you have to go strip them.
With vinegar? Mm-hmm.
Because they're not actually, I'm not saying that the dirt isn't coming out, but whatever you're putting on it is still staying on it.
Right.
Unless you are scrubbing. Rinsing. So detergent is what took away.
So a visual aid in my mind, which I don't even know if this is true, but when you said that, it made me think of all it's doing is going in and it's breaking the dirt off, but it's staying.
Yes. Right? Detergent took the place of having to scrub on a washboard.
Uh-huh.
So the soap is what would break up and get the dirt and the grease and all of that off. But then you were doing the action of scrubbing and removing it.
Gotcha.
But the detergent is the chemical that goes in and it stays in the fibers.
Okay.
You can wash soap out of clothes. You can't wash detergent out of clothes. So there's a difference.
If you
make a homemade laundry soap, I think it might be better than using a detergent, but it may not clean as well in a regular washing machine.
Yeah, it may not. And we talked about that while Shani was having lunch before we came out here because
trying to get that protein
that
in.
Time, right? And she's trying to get some protein in. That's another show.
Oh, yes.
But we were talking about it, and I had an old-fashioned, I guess, washing machine. You know, what do they call
it? Top load with an agitator.
It's a top load. Yeah, but it's called a, not a bucket. It's I'll think of it just a minute. I can't believe
a drum?
A drum. It has a drum.
A drum.
It has a big, you put fill water in it. It's
a
lot of water. Well, the new
is it one that you can like actually soak in and you can turn it on and leave the
the
top open.
Used to have,
I grew up with one of those, and then our first washing machine when we got married was like that, and I loved it.
Yes.
It was great for
but
doing.
It is not a water saver, which is why we have new light bulbs.
Yes.
We also have new washing machines and the drum.
Again, let's just go back to the wash basin
tub.
Outside.
Tub,
wash
like the tub.
Okay. Outside. Yep.
So we have the tub, which is a drum. You know, it's on a motor.
Yep.
It sits on a motor and it spins around, agitates. The middle part is, it has like a curly thing on it with things that stick out. So to agitate your washer, it goes from the top to the bottom, from the top to the bottom, from the top to the bottom. And when ours broke, we could not find any of them that were old like that. And I like the soak. I like that. You know, the let it sit over.
It's great for cloth diapers.
Yeah, and I had cloth diapers, right? So I would turn it on at night and let it soak. And then in the morning, I would finish washing it and I would hang the diapers out to dry in the morning.
Yeah.
They'd be dry in the afternoon. I mean, it was just, and the sun would shine on them and disinfect them. It was just lovely.
Yes.
And I liked that. But when I couldn't find a washing machine, We actually had to find a used washing machine.
Yeah.
And I'm back to this soaking because I can more efficiently clean it.
Yes.
You know, back in the day, we could run our washing machine out to our vegetables or whatever.
And yeah.
Let that gray water get on them. But I don't think it's legal anymore. Maybe in the country it is if you have a make your own septic tank. But I like that type of washing machine because I did notice that the clothes smelled like feet.
Yeah.
It smelled just horrible with the whatever I was using.
The high efficiency.
Yeah, I did not like it.
See, we were talking about that. I use a... they're called laundry sheets. So it basically is the laundry detergent, soap, whatever it is officially, without the water. Because a lot of, when you buy a jug of laundry detergent, it's water. Mostly water. So this is just a dehydrated version, basically. And honestly, I got it because it does work and it's really easy for my kids to help with laundry. Yeah. They just put one or two of the sheets in the washer when they start a load. But I really wanted to make my own soap, but I don't know if I want to use it in the machine because I don't know if it's going to work.
I don't know
as
about
well.
High efficiency. I've seen them people do they just do it dry without adding the water. But what we would do is take a 5 gallon bucket and I would use at the time they want, you know, I found out it was Fels and Naptha, but I actually used the Castile soap.
Yeah.
And you grate it up
and
you melt it in the water. And once you have it melted, you mix it with 1 cup of borax and then 1 cup of washing soda.
Yeah.
And you fill a 5 gallon, but it makes me want to go do it now. I mean, I feel like I want to go do that because the smell is clean. Your clothes will smell clean. And
we should try that this summer.
Yeah. And it will gel up. You fill that 5 gallon bucket up with water and it will gel up and you might need to take a drill. We had a drill or I would just use a big wooden spoon and just kind of beat it up.
Yeah.
And then just use a cup or half a cup and it lasts forever.
Yeah.
But
I've seen those. It costs like $5 to make.
Yeah. A lot of people use that dry. They grate it. They grate the soap. Yeah. They use the washing powder and the borax,
you would just adjust
and
your measurement.
Use like a tablespoon for the high efficiency.
Right.
Now, I don't know if that works because I don't have a high efficiency.
I would be curious to try. I mean, the one I get right now is I get 120 loads for $20. It's really not.
Right.
It's
less than 20 cents a load.
Right. Yeah. It's fine. But I could find a more natural option. Before we used this, I used 7th generation. And then there was a whole scandal or something with 7th generation.
I love Mrs. Meyers. And I don't know if it's the cleanest, but I love the honeysuckle scent.
I love Mrs. Meyers hand soap. And I know.
I love the smell.
Yes. I know that it is not the cleanest, but they have a new one. Well, it's new to me. It may have been out last year in the springtime, but it's called Daisy. And it's this beautiful yellow bottle. And, you know, this is where it's good, better, best sometimes.
Yeah.
This is a better option. It's a good option. It is not necessarily the cleanest, but it still works.
Yeah. And for fabric softener, I would take vinegar and put it in a glass jar, a spaghetti jar, whatever, and I would cut up my old towels and I would put enough essential oils in the vinegar to cut the smell. And I would also use orange oil. I would soak orange peels in it and I would put those cut up towels in there, wring them out and throw them in there and to dry with the rest of the clothes.
So you put them in as like a dryer sheet?
Like a dryer sheet.
Okay.
In the dryer. But we actually, the kids growing up, we use clothesline. My kids could stand their blue jeans up before they put them on.
Yeah.
But we would use the clothesline. And so I would use vinegar with essential oils in the rinse cycle.
Yeah. The drying your clothes on a clothesline has pros and cons. One of the pros being just the energy savings, which, yes, high efficiency cuts energy costs by a lot, but it's still, you're running the dryer. I mean, for my dryer, even with the lint trap cleaned out, sometimes I have to run my dryer twice for the same load, which is really aggravating to me because I shouldn't have to do that. And then one of the cons is that the sun can wear on your clothes a little bit, but there are lots of tips and tricks around that. And ultimately, the sun is a disinfectant. And
the sun is,
It's, you're getting fresh, pure-ish air.
Yeah.
into your clothes and they smell good.
And they are stiff. Your towels will be stiff and but they will be easier to fold.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, you can pop them in the dryer for 5 minutes to wrinkle relief.
I've heard people do that. They'll put them in the dryer for a little bit and then they'll hang them up.
Yeah.
One of the YouTube channels I used to follow, How Jen Does It, she would dry her clothes for 10 minutes and then hang them all up inside in her basement. She lived in Michigan. And she also used a crystal wash. I've never used that before, but it was just two little balls that you put in your washing machine.
Yeah.
And it's something, there's some kind of ionized something that works for that. But so there are some alternatives for laundry detergent that you can use. Just research
I've
them.
Heard that the Azure Standard laundry detergent is really good. Mm-hmm, I haven't tried it yet, but...
Well, see, back in the day, when we first started getting natural stuff, we had Amway.
Okay.
You know, and Amway said back in the day, they said they were natural. But in our mind, everything was natural. If you got Arm & Hammer and baking soda, well, baking soda was natural. You know, I mean, we didn't really
understand. The power of marketing.
We didn't really understand, you know, the chemicals.
Yes.
And, you know, and how they really worked because they weren't banned until, I want to say the 70s, actually. Which, some of the really toxic ones.
Right. And that goes back to that good, better, best look at. I keep saying that today, but... I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to push people into making decisions out of fear or like feeling like they're failing if they're using a conventional. We just want to bring it to your attention because you may not know.
Right.
And then make little decisions and little changes and it will start to snowball.
It will.
And I mean, we've been doing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. My first steps into this realm were in almost 10 years ago, which is crazy. And how many years for you, 30, you think?
35,
yeah.
Something like that.
So it's not something, it doesn't just all happen overnight, but this is the benefit of learning from the people who have gone before.
Yeah, you're going to save 35 years. So you guys.
Well, and we have, I was reading something the other day about how quickly, just in two generations, our society has changed so much and moved away from really multi-generational learning and passing down things. And we're trying to bring that back. Mm-hmm. We need that again. And this is one of those things.
Yeah. So, and you know, and I think everything will work for cleaning. Think about it this way. We did not have these chemical cleaners, you know, back in 1900 or before. And
they actually
cleaned their house. They really cleaned their house with things. And they used elbow grease and they kept it clean and they caught things before they were bad and they scrubbed things.
Which also goes back to that, like, it does take hard work. It's not just, I think sometimes we think using the chemical option means we don't have to use elbow grease.
No, we do.
We can just spray the chemical on it and it works.
When did bleach come into?
I don't know. I honestly despise bleach, mainly because it gives me a headache. But I do not like to have bleach in my house. I prefer to use something else, anything else.
Bleaching powder, a solid combination of chlorine and slaked lime or slaked lime, introduced in 1799 by Scottish chemist Charles Tennant.
Wonder how
While
much
the
it's
world
changed.
Bleach entered the English language around the year 1050, bleach containing sodium hypochlorite was first manufactured in the United States in 1913. I'm getting really interested now, y'all.
Interesting.
Before that, chemicals such as borax, that's what's in that laundry detergent, ammonia. My grandmother used ammonia. And then lye, people use lye, were the most common bleaches in the United States, and bleaches made using chlorine were generally too expensive to manufacture until the 20th
century.
And now
it's like one of the cheapest cleaning
things you can get.
And now
it's very, Clorox chemical. Oh, I messed it up. I've got all these ads, y'all. Clorox chemical, later called the Clorox Company, first gave samples of bleach to consumers for household use in 1922. Since chlorine bleach was faster and more effective than the bleaches people had been using, it quickly became the most popular household bleach. So when we say bleach, we mean chlorine bleach.
Yes.
We mean something
when
that's chlorine.
Yes.
Right.
But there were other bleaches.
But there's like OxyClean, which is oxygen. Hydrogen peroxide, right?
Yeah.
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Yeah. define your terms, right?
Right.
You have to know
this
what it is that you're talking about.
Sodium hypochlorite is what she's talking about. NaOCl, right?
Yeah.
Because hydrogen peroxide is called, we used to have Clorox too. It was Clorox too. It was in a blue box and it had pictures of colored clothes on it. And it was bleach made with hydrogen peroxide.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Sodium percarbonate. Yeah.
That was back when my mom used to make us sort our laundry by color.
Yeah.
I don't do that. We just throw it all in the washing machine.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And it's actually chemical. The stain really doesn't disappear. It's just, it's double bonds between carbon atoms. I mean, it gets really scientific here, but.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that's what it is. The ketchup doesn't absorb the light anymore, but the ketchup's still there, I guess. But yeah, I know, right?
That's disturbing. Oh,
that's
my
really
goodness.
Interesting. Yeah, that's really kind of cool.
Okay.
Yeah. The remains of the ketchup can still be there. You just won't be able to see the stain anymore, right? And then,
back to that whole concept of the detergents not actually pulling it out.
So you still need to go back to the soaking and the washing to get it out. Yeah.
So there is a show that was a BBC show, and I think it's called Victorian Farm. Did you ever watch Victorian Farm?
No, but I
Farm?
Want to now.
Okay. Mm-hmm. When Kyle and I watched it, it was on Amazon Prime and it was free at the time, but it's been several years and it's really cool. It's a couple of historians and what are they called? Anthropology type archaeologists that are studying social history basically. Mm-hmm. And so, they basically did this living history experiment type thing where they went and lived on a Victorian style farm for, I think it was a whole calendar year, because they had to do all the things from the lambing. And then they went through the whole cycle with the lamb or with the sheep and taking care of the sheep. They did the farming and the plowing and the planting and the harvesting and all that. And then it's two men. And then the woman was dealing with all the household type things. And she had a segment on doing the laundry, and she uses these historical methods. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that is in our modern detergents and laundry soaps is, it's a whitener, but what it really is something blue, because the blue makes things, the blue makes things look whiter.
Sure.
So she actually had this, I don't remember what it was made out of, but it was like the bluest blue you could ever imagine. And it was almost like a chalky thing. Mm-hmm. And so she would put a little bit in the hot tub to soak the white things in to whiten them.
I'm feeling really old right now because it's actually called bluing.
Oh, okay.
And we had it growing up.
Did you grow up on the Victorian farm?
No, I didn't. So I'm like, I don't even know. I'm thinking, I know exactly what she's talking about.
Okay,
bluing. And we had bottles of it at home when we would wash white towels or whatever. You'd put a little bit of the bluing
How
in
crazy
there.
That it still was being used for that long.
It was a liquid, but not a chalk. But it was probably added water to so you could put it in a bottle and make
more
money.
But now it's just part of the laundry detergent. So when you use a natural laundry soap, you don't have that in there, which is why your clothes look dingy.
That's exactly right.
And that's, I mean, it's give or take. You got to figure out what you want.
Right.
Have chemicals on your body all the time or dingy clothes.
So we can do some laundry detergent. So what about if you're doing your bathtub? A lot of people use, when I was growing up, we had that bubble, scrubbing bubbles, little scrubbing bubbles.
My mom used
with a green top. We'd spray it. We'd
Mom, if you're listening, don't get mad at me.
We love you, Mom.
Yes. When we were growing up, my mom would hand us the Comet. And while we were we were having a shower here, scrub the shower while you're in there. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I hate the smell of bleach, because I would use Comet with bleach.
Mm-hmm. It worked though.
It did. Ooh, it worked. Mm-hmm. It got it clean.
It has the abrasive, which you can replace with baking soda.
Yes.
Baking soda is abrasive. Salt is abrasive.
Yeah. Isn't there a more natural version of Barkeeper's Friend?
Mm-hmm. Bon Ami.
That's the one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
Bon Ami has the chick on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Those are good for that resin type bathtub.
If you get that soap scum on there. Yeah, you can
honestly good old fashioned elbow grease, first of all. Second,
soap, put it on there, soap will take it off, believe it or not.
Yes.
You can just use your soap that you can just use soap, come right off.
I I used to sell this. I don't sell this anymore, so I'm not going to get anything from sharing about it. But Norwex EnviroCloths work really well. Mm-hmm. And then the window cloth is like the drying one that mm-hmm. you follow up with. Those work. They just the way that it's woven, it's really good at mm-hmm. getting stuff off.
It's just, you just need that abrasive to just pull yeah. whatever it is off. You know, that's really all you need.
But as far as like sterilizing is not the right word, but you know, just mm-hmm. giving putting a coat of something on there, mm-hmm. I would just use vinegar or
what if you want to disinfect your toilet? Let's talk about that. You know, what's a better alternative?
So I know that there's some debate about bleach versus vinegar and things mm-hmm. and disinfecting versus there's another term I can't think of at the moment.
Sterilizing? You already said that.
I don't think it's sterilizing, but it's like, so there's some people arguing that you can clean with vinegar, but you're not actually disinfecting with vinegar. Mm-hmm. But from what I've read and what I understand is bleach actually is a breeding ground for mold and mildew.
Oh, that's scary. I did not know.
I'll have to find the info and maybe I can link mm-hmm. that with this description because, again, with everything, do your own research. We're right. just sharing what we know, but I feel more comfortable using vinegar, but,
Well, there yeah. are some essential oils you can use. I know that like Young Living makes the Thebes cleaner.
And doTERRA has
doTERRA On Guard. doTERRA has On Guard. And
that's what I use primarily for like in the kitchen.
And if you Google what is in both of those, yeah.
It's the
four
same.
Thieves. Yeah, yeah, they're the four Thieves essential oils. You know, if you can make your own, let's say that good, better, best. If you can't yeah. afford these, then find alternatives to make your own. Be careful. I mean, don't do that if you're going to ingest them, though. I yes. would say that as essential oil person, don't ingest them unless they have a nutritional label on the back, period. Yep. End of disclaimer. But if you're going to clean with them, go ahead.
What are the four? Lemon, oregano, cinnamon?
Rosemary. Is it rosemary?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Let's I think there's
that.
Another one.
It's really kind of cool because during the Black Plague, the doctors used these yes. four thieves because they didn't get... they didn't get sick.
How about during the Spanish flu of 1917 that wiped out millions yeah, and millions right? of people?
Okay.
The cinnamon factory workers were not getting sick from
right.
anything, yeah. just from working with the cinnamon.
There's got to be a way to clean your toilet. And so I would use vinegar a lot of times. And actually, you know, if you just swipe it, I mean, it'll stay clean every day. If you would just swish your toilet, it will stay clean. You do have to wipe it.
Yeah.
But you want to make sure that, you know, it is disinfected. If that concerns you, your kid is going to be touching it, crawling around. I have no signal right now. So you want to make sure, I would use for me, I have a lemon tree that has gone back to its trifolia stock. So I have a lot of those. So I can take those peels, and I have put them in quart jars and soaked vinegar in them. And they just are sitting there in the apothecary.
Yes.
And I use that for a lot of things. That orange vinegar type dilution. And I just
that was
use
one of
that.
The first natural things I ever made. Mm-hmm. And then I was afraid to use it.
You just didn't want to waste it?
I didn't know. I don't know.
You can do that with lemons. I think it's yeah. a powerful oil.
It is.
A lot of growing up, we use pine sol,
yeah.
which is really strong.
Yeah.
You know,
that's probably one of the only chemical things I have in my house right now is pine sol.
Yeah. So it you just, can make your own.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have but babies climbing on the floor
the majority of
anymore.
It is pine oil.
Yeah.
I don't know where they get it from.
Yeah.
Or anything, but
I'll
I do
have to
think
look at the
is.
Label. It was one of those things like we live on a farm property and I really needed to have
we
my
had brown
floors
Lysol growing up. Clean. I don't even know what's in that.
Brown Lysol? Mm-hmm.
We would what dilute does that mean? It was bottles, brown.
Oh.
It was brown and you would dilute it like a tablespoon per
yeah.
year when you would mop the floors and that
yeah,
would disinfect
we,
it.
We grew up using Lysol for a lot of things. Okay, so I just looked up vinegar. This is the debate. Is that vinegar is not considered a disinfectant.
Okay.
But it does have some disinfectant capabilities, I guess. My thing with that is, if you want a natural disinfectant, hydrogen peroxide is what people are saying use. So my thing is, we, for whatever reason, have this fascination with living in a sterilized environment. And I'm not saying that you should roll around and lick counters with salmonella and E. coli on them.
Yeah.
But funny enough, vinegar actually does kill those bacteria. Mm-hmm. So there you
I
go.
I think so. I think
but
it's...
there is something to having regular exposure to viruses and bacteria. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have a microbiome. We have bacteria on us all the time. Right. And when
so
we...
Let's just say someone is sick.
Yeah.
That's really when you need to disinfect something.
Yes.
You know, maybe if it's a virus, you don't want to catch it or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you don't want a stomach bug.
No. But if you just keep it clean, you know.
I think my argument would be, if we didn't live such sterilized lifestyles, mm-hmm. maybe we wouldn't get sick with
People
those things.
People used to go to the bathroom in an outhouse.
I know.
How often do you think those got cleaned?
I know. Well, that's what I'm like. So once one person got dysentery, yeah, it would go around.
Right, exactly.
But
then you would get it. Mm-hmm.
But if we weren't so obsessed with being sterile mm-hmm. and just not having any germs, maybe our immune systems would have a better defense against those viruses.
So maybe we should just focus on being clean.
Yeah, and not being sterile.
And not being sterile.
But I do think, like, just because I do it in my home, this again mm-hmm. is like, you do what you can with what you have.
Sure.
But when I go out and I'm around other people who do live a very sterilized life mm-hmm. and their kid is sick, my kids are, at some point, their bodies are going to be overloaded with those things.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of times where my kids don't get sick.
Right.
Because we have built up immune systems mm-hmm. and we're supporting our bodies. Fight those things.
That's right. So what is an alternative cleaner for, like, your windows? It sounds like
vinegar is great.
Vinegar, I think vinegar is the theme here.
Those Norwex, again, I don't make any money from this, but those Norwex.
We'll try to find a similar, cheaper.
Yeah. I think E-Cloth is another brand similar. That Norwex window cloth is amazing. You can just use water with it and it'll clean it off. And I mean, like, you know, like the hard water stains mm-hmm. and all of that. I used on my shower glass. I love them. I mean, they're a little bit of an investment, but they're not crazy. And you wash them and use them over and over and over again.
Right, and they last for a long time.
Yeah. I've had mine since my twins were babies. So almost 6 years now.
What are some other...
7 years.
What are some other places you think that people are thinking, you know, what we can clean?
So we're gonna dive into, like, skincare and beauty products later in another episode.
I think if you buy a big thing of vinegar,
yeah,
that's where you should start.
Yes.
Really.
Alcohol.
Alcohol
a cleaner.
Vodka is a cleaner.
Yes.
It is. And it really
and
is.
And you can.
And it is a disinfectant.
Yeah, you can extract scents into it if you want. But mm-hmm. I mean, if you really want to get as natural as you can,
and less
chemical as you can, mm-hmm. then yeah, vinegar, vodka, hydrogen peroxide, baking soda.
If you want to
scrub
like your sink, take salt, put it on a half a lemon.
Yeah.
Rub it around. It will clean.
Yeah.
It will be abrasive enough. And
going back to what the simplest, like, ingredients
makes
list.
It easier for you that you don't have to think about whatever you put on that shelf, you got to wipe that shelf down.
Yeah.
So pick one.
Yeah.
Pick one. If baking soda and vinegar, boom.
You don't have to have a bottle with 15 ingredients in it.
Baking soda is inexpensive if you buy it by 5 pounds.
Yeah.
Really, it's not that expensive.
Yeah.
So if you get that and some vinegar, you know, then you're golden.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to buy anything else, and you don't have to wipe that shelf down, and you don't have to build a new shelf. And it doesn't have to look like Pinterest, and you don't have all the things.
Yeah.
Minimize everything you can and stop using the chemicals. Start using the tools like the Norwex.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I, my kitchen cleaner that I use is the On Guard. I get the On Guard cleaning concentrate, similar to the Thieves one. Mm-hmm. And I think it has a little bit of some kind of soap in it because it does mm-hmm. bubble a little bit when you mix it. But it has those oils in it. And then I just have it in a spray bottle and I put a little bit in and then fill the rest with water, which, by the way, is what the majority of your cleaners are, is mm-hmm. water. You're paying for water with chemicals in it.
Right.
And then I spray it on my counters and wipe it off with my Norwex cloths.
And then you're done.
Yeah.
And steam. Yeah. We forgot to mention steam.
Yeah.
Steam is a really good disinfectant. And there's a lot of really inexpensive steamers out there.
Yeah.
It's not natural because you have to plug it in and all that stuff, but the steam cleans.
Yeah.
It really does. It's a good cleaner. You can use it on your refrigerator to get things on that are stuck. You can't get them off.
Yeah.
You know, it's in your floors. If you have floors that don't have carpet on them.
What about dish soap? How do you feel about dish soap? I still use Dawn because Dawn works.
It depends. I like Mrs. Meyer's. I like Method. I even like Method, and it's not the best either.
Yeah.
But I try to get something that's plant-based for sure.
I really want to look into one that I've heard of lately is Branch Basics. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, they've
that
been company for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I want to try that one. You can get like a starter kit with them. And I guess their philosophy is like you buy the bottles one time, and then it's like a single formula, mm-hmm. and it will give you the ratios for the concentrates, for depending on what you're cleaning.
For years, I used Dr. Bronner's, just the big Castile. You can get those big ones now at Target.
Yeah.
And you can, or other places, I'm sure, but I know Target, they usually have the sales with the, not that I'm promoting Target, but they have the sales and you get the cash back and all the stuff.
Right, right.
But you can get the huge, they're in milk jugs now.
Yeah, I get mine by the gallon on Amazon. My kids wash with is Castile soap.
Yeah, Castile soap. And Castile will be the best hand washing soap ever. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
I mean, really, it's a good, it's or make your own and use bar soap. Use bar soap.
I love my tallow soap. That's something we're doing this summer is making mm-hmm. soap, right?
We actually are. We are actually going to do it in a couple of weeks.
Oh.
But you and I can do it on a separate date if you can't come. But I have a homemaking class, and I probably should say it on here.
Yeah.
That we're going to have a little homemaking class on Saturday, not this Saturday, maybe the next, I think it's the next Saturday.
Yeah.
And from 10 to 2.
Yeah.
Or 10 to 12. And we're going to make soap. Nice. We're going to make tallow soap.
I was just looking at the process, and I've watched it several times, like making it with lye. And mm-hmm.
We're going to make it with lye.
It's not as intimidating, I think. It's kind of like cooking with a pressure cooker with the Instant Pot. People mm-hmm. want to like scare you out of doing it. And I think there's some conspiracy behind that. They don't want us making their own soap. But
it's really good. It feels good on your hands when you use it. You do have to cure it for a few weeks because the lye is still active.
Yeah.
So what I'll do is I'm going to make soap here, and then we'll make it together, and then everybody can take some that is not cured and some that is cured, so you can see how it works.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be difficult.
I bought some from a shop on Etsy that I shared on my social media a while back that I just wanted to support a small business, and mm-hmm. It's awesome. I love it. Yeah. I got some that is like a regular tallow soap with lavender in it. And then another one that's like the charcoal soap. And mm-hmm. I use that as body wash and as my face soap. And
we didn't have liquid hand soap when I was growing up. We had the bar soap.
That reminds me. I have to make tallow balm this afternoon for somebody at church.
I love my tallow balm.
She texted me the other day. She said, can I get some of that beef fat that you make? And I was like, it's called tallow. But yes. That beef fat, whatever it's called.
Beef fat. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I put on my face. I can't wait to talk about that. I cannot wait to talk about beauty products. It's going to be fun.
Coming up next. This was a long one, but
it was.
And I'm sure she'll edit half of it out. But there's a lot of alternatives out there, and you can change if you want to, because we do need to talk about shampoos and stuff. But you're cleaning in your home. Basically, just keep it clean. Like just, you know, put the dishes away, wash the dishes when you need to wash the dishes. Don't let them sit and grow things. It just makes it easier if you just keep it maintained.
Yes. If you do it when it needs to be done, mm-hmm. you don't need the harsh chemicals to try to backtrack.
You shouldn't have mold. You shouldn't have mildew. You shouldn't have any of that. Just be mindful. And remember, this is your life and you're breathing it and you're, you mm-hmm. know, just start to get on a different path without getting overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this was good.
So if you could suggest one place to start, I know what I would say.
I would say your laundry detergent. And the reason I'd say that is because your skin is your largest organ. Uh-huh. And you're putting your clothes on your body.
Yeah.
I would say your laundry detergent.
Yeah.
And it is expensive to switch to a different brand. And if you can't afford that, try to find the online things that are cheap, like the Phil's Naphtha or the washing soda. Try it. And if you have I don't know how to do it with a high efficiency. I really don't.
There are a lot of posts
out
there. But I'm
sure you can look on Instagram, about TikTok, it, or whatever people are looking on nowadays.
I would say an easy, really practical switch would be whatever you're using to clean your counters with in your kitchen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can make the switch really quickly. You can make your own like vinegar, citrus infused vinegar if you want, but you can just do vinegar, dilute some vinegar in water.
Never used a spray.
Yeah.
My grandmother, after she washed her dishes, she would use that soapy water that was in there. She used Ivory. And she would wring her dishcloth out and she would wipe all the counters down with soap.
Yeah.
And when she would clean the anything, she would fill it up with Ivory and water, fill the sink up and use that washcloth. Yeah. Wash her cabinets, wipe everything with just soap.
Soap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just soap.
Yeah.
Of course, Ivory's probably a detergent. I don't know. But that's what she used, Ivory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's what she used. She just was like, just soap.
Yeah.
Wipe everything down.
It's amazing what just a little bit of soap and water will do.
Yeah.
And we know that something like a tallow soap or a goat milk soap or whatever is very good for you.
She'd wash her floor with soap.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She would.
That's what people did.
In a bucket. You put the Ivory in a bucket. Yeah. You put the soap. Because I would help clean her house once I had Thomas and I needed some extra money. I would clean her house for her. And she would show me, oh, no, baby, you know, you put this soap in here and you put it and get all the water. She mopped differently than anybody I'd ever seen. Of course, this is probably the way everybody mops, and I just thought it was different. But she would put the soap in a bucket of water and hot water, and then I would wring it. I would not wring it.
Yep.
I would let it be full of water, and I would put it on the floor.
Yeah.
And it would get in the corners. She said that was the way the water would get in the corners. And then I would wring it and use it dry to mop the water back up.
Yeah.
But when I first started, I would wring the water and then mop. And she's like, how are you going to get in the corners? Just, you got to put the water on there and let it, you know, do like a thin, you know. And I was like, well, that makes a whole lot of sense because it gets in the corners that way. And then you just mop it back out. That was so easy.
Yeah.
That was so easy. I mean, everybody cleans differently, but she used soap for everything.
Yeah.
Just soap.
Well.
You're learning. Just soap. That's all she had. And she said, soap and water is cheap, babe. Soap and water is cheap. That you can be poor, but you can be clean.
Yeah.
Soap and water is cheap.
Yeah. You don't have to have all of the chemicals. I think that just goes back to us. I think maybe we feel like something is cleaner if we know that we've sprayed it with something so harsh, but it can still not be clean and just be full of chemicals.
Right. Right. Yeah. Right. There you go. See, we learned a lot today.
Yeah.
We learned a lot and we're sitting out. The reason it's taken so long, I think, because we're sitting outside and it's nice and
And we haven't seen each other for a few weeks.
And we haven't. It's been 2 weeks. Yeah.
So
Shani decided she wanted to go out of town. I don't know what to do with.
You went out of town, too.
Oh, I did, too. I went with fruit and vegetable. That was so
Yeah, awesome. We were just off on our weeks.
Yeah. Okay,
I'm
so.
I'm trying to look for what next
We do
time
need to
is.
Figure out some Patreon stuff for Patreon people. Sorry, guys. We are just. We are getting with
we're
the
figuring
program.
This
we're
out.
We're figuring this out. But if you have ideas of what you would like to see on Patreon, for those of you who are faithful to subscribe and join us for $5 a month, let us know. We will be happy to oblige you and get you in on all the inside scoop as we can. And follow us on Instagram, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Is that all?
Yeah. And you can find the podcast
and you can
on
find the
Spotify,
Spotify
and Apple.
And Apple. Yep.
Yeah.
Come see us.
So I'll probably put a question box up on Instagram and Facebook stories for anything that you guys want to talk about in the natural realm of what we're talking about in March. So beauty products. And then we'll see how we'll shape those episodes kind of topically. So please give us your feedback so that we can talk about what it is that you guys want to hear about, because we could talk for days. Obviously.
We could just about anything and we go from one direction to another direction.
Yes.
That's what we love this podcast.
Yes.
You know, we're leaving a legacy of our
conversations.
We hope you guys have enjoyed it as much as we have, and we hope you have a really good week, and we'll see you next time.
See you later.
Bye.